David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to the study of the life of David. We continue on this journey of studying the life of David. Last week, we're looking at chapter 6 and lesson number 2. David bringing back the Ark of God, and he brought it to Jerusalem after it had been away for a long time. We saw that Saul was never interested in the Ark. But when David comes to the throne of Israel as king of Israel, one of the first things that he does and prioritizes is to bring back the Ark of God. And we saw him bring it back from where it was. And along the way, it stumbled and someone had to die. He then says, I will not take it in. But he then sees how God blesses the house of Obed-Edom in 3 months. Then he then corrects his ways, because first they tried to carry the ark using the methods of the Philistines, worldly systems of using a cart and using a kettle. But that was not the standard of God. The ark was to be carried by priests. And this time, David corrects himself, and he then has priests carry the ark. And every six, seven steps, they would sacrifice unto God. David brings the ark, and he creates a tent, which is called the Tabernacle of David. We did not have three compartments. This was a tabernacle that was established for worship, 24/7 worship with three orders a day. And there were Levites that would worship. And you see that there is an order that David set, and there was a manifestation of the presence of God. You read in the book of Acts, and God promises that I will restore again the tabernacle of David. And these are the times we are living in, where God is restoring again the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of worship, the tabernacle of the manifestation of the glory of God. So we see David valuing the presence of God and saying, I cannot begin to reign as a king without the ark of God. And we learned that we should value the presence of God, and we should walk a life of sacrifice, because a life of glory only comes after sacrifice. Today we are moving on to lesson number 3, looking at 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want you to get your Bible and get your notebook. Let us get into the Word of God. The title of the lesson is as David's heart to build the Lord a house. The heart of David to build the Lord a house. We'll look at this in 3 sections as an overview. Then we're going to look at 5 lessons that we draw from this wonderful chapter and scriptures in the Bible. Let's go on now. Now, from verse 1 to 7, we see that God gives David peace from all his enemies. And there was peace. He was not fighting anyone. He had peace with the Philistines. He had peace with the Amalekites. And at this time, David begins to share his desires with prophet Nathan. Nathan, at a time of peace. And he says, I'm not happy because the ark of God dwells in a tent while I live in a paneled house. So he was sharing his desire for building God a house. Verse 2 of chapter 7 says that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains, that's a tent. Verse 3, and Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. So David shares that which is in his heart with the prophet Nathan, and the prophet hears the idea, and it sounds as a good idea. When someone wants to build God a house, it's a good idea. So the prophet didn't even consult God or anything. He just said to the king, that which is in your heart, do it, for the Lord is with thee. He was just blessing him. But later on, God then comes to Nathan and speaks to him and says, no. Go and tell David, he is not the one to build me a house. If I requested a house, then God begins to remind David through prophet Nathan that I've walked with Israel in the desert, and I've never requested for them to build me a house. I've walked with them in that tent from when they were in the wilderness into the promised land, into the time of the judges. I did not request a house. Why would you want to build it now? But when you look now in the book of Chronicles, you see that there is a further side that God reveals when he says, your hands are full of blood. You're a man of war. You cannot build me this house. So this is God now speaking to prophet Nathan. And Nathan is to go back to David and tell him this news that God has said, no, you are not the one to build me a house, even though that it is in your heart to do it. But God says, you are not the person. Now, it takes spiritual maturity to have a good idea and have a good something that you want to do. And God says, you are not the one to do it, and you accept it. So there are many things that are good. You might have a good idea to help orphans, or to build an orphanage, or to build a university or a school, or start a church. But all those are good things. But if God was to say to you, you are not the one to do it, how many of us will be able to say, God, I honor your word, and I'll leave it so that the one who is to do it may do it, and I will support them. And that is what David did. Now, many of us want to be the ones in the forefront. We want to be the ones that are leading. David became in the background, and he began to raise gold and silver and prepare it for the one that God had chosen to build him a house. What a heart that David had. Now, from verse 8 to 17, God then shares how he had raised David. He tells him that I took you from following after sheep, and I made you king over Israel. So God is showing him how he has been gracious to him, how he picked him as a young boy, as a shepherd boy, and he has made him king over Israel. Now, verse 12, we read then, he says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish thy kingdom. Hallelujah. So you see then, God now begins to share that he is going to allow David to rest with his fathers after his days are fulfilled. And he then says, after that, I will raise a seed after you, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13 says, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, God begins to reveal to David that he will go to rest in peace. But after him, God will raise a son. And that son is the one that God is going to use to build a house in the name of the Lord. Now, we know from the scriptures that that son was Solomon, that God was going to raise up and was going to use him to build an everlasting kingdom. But now, when you see this prophetic word, it is a two-edged sword. On one side, it is talking about Solomon in the natural to build the temple. But on the other edge, it is talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Jesus, when he comes, you hear the Bible calling him the Son of David. You remember Bartimaeus, when he was crying, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because they knew that the Messiah would come in the lineage of David. So this prophecy was going beyond Solomon, who was going to build a physical temple. But it was coming to Jesus, the son of David, the Messiah, who was going to build the house of God, the one that is an everlasting kingdom, because the kingdom of Solomon was not going to be everlasting. That kingdom is not there today. But the kingdom of Christ, Jesus Christ, is a kingdom that is from everlasting unto everlasting. You read in Matthew chapter 16, he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see that from the desires of David, God begins to reveal a prophetic word for the Messiah that was going to come in the lineage of David and was going to establish an everlasting kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Now, when David hears this, verse 18 to 29, David is amazed by God's kindness towards him and his family. He is amazed. He's looking and saying, but who am I? Verse 18 says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord? And what is my house that thou has brought me here to. Hey, David is saying, who am I and what is my house that you have brought me to this place, that you have honored us, that you are going to raise a son that will be my son, and him you are going to set on the kingdom and give him a kingdom that will be established, and he will build you a house. David is just looking at the favor and the mercy of God, and he is beginning to express his gratitude, and he begins to worship God for his goodness, for his kindness, for his mercy towards him. David was a worshiper. And when this triggered him to worship God, when God revealed to him such kindness, but the worship went further because God had spoken of an everlasting kingdom. And David also being prophetic, because he carried a triple anointing of that of being a king and also being a priest. He was priestly and also being prophetic. His psalms were very prophetic. He prophesied the coming of the Messiah. He begins to show gratitude to say, God, why us, my family, you have chosen us to be in the lineage of the Messiah, that the Messiah will come and establish an everlasting kingdom, and he will come in the bloodline of David. So David has nothing else he can do but just to worship God. Verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And David begins to say, there is no other God like thee, none besides thee, according to all that we have heard, there is none that is comparable unto thee. Oh, hallelujah. David is just flowing in worship. Verse 25, he then says, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Now, here a prophetic word has been released to David concerning him and his family and the coming of the Messiah. Now he begins to pray and say, God, may you establish that word that you have spoken. May it be established. Now, when a prophetic word comes, it is not time to relax. It is time to pray, because prophetic words are established and they are birthed and manifested through prayer. When God speaks a prophetic word, he is looking for someone to partner with him in agreement. Who is a person? Because God has given the earth to us as his children. So whenever he wants to do something, he releases a word, and we need to partner with him in prayer so that word may be established in the earthly realm. And this is what David is doing and saying, this word that you have spoken, may it be established and may it be done as you have said. Verse 26 says, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. Let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Hallelujah. Amen. So he then says, God, let your name be honored. Let it be magnified. And may the house of David be established. That was the prayer of David now. He is praying for his legacy. And you see the legacy that David has. Generations, thousands of years later, we are still studying his life. Because what a life he lived. Through his generations, the Messiah came, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, is seated on that throne. It is this covenant of that David, God made with David. It is on this covenant that Christ came to reign. And it is on this covenant that he's going to come and reign again in the millennium reign for 1,000 years as the King of Kings. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we want to look at five lessons that we draw from this portion of scripture that we have been looking at. Now, firstly, we learn here that we need to prioritize the kingdom of God. We need to prioritize. Last week, we saw David prioritizing the presence of God. Now he says to God, I cannot just have the ark in a tent, but I need to build God a house. That's a man who prioritizes the kingdom of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto thee. Now, because David was seeking this thing, God ended up blessing him, not just him, but his sons after him, because his heart was after seeking the kingdom. He prioritized the kingdom of God. May that also be the way we live our lives. May we prioritize the kingdom of God. May the kingdom of God and God come first in your life. May it never be the other way around. May it never be your business, your family, your ministry. May it be God first and his kingdom, and God will cause all other things to work together for your good. Amen. Lesson number two, let it be in your heart to serve God. The Bible says it was in the heart of David. May we do things for God or serve God wholeheartedly, because God looks at the heart. You hear in the Gospels, as Jesus speaks, say, these people worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are very far away. And even when we love God, the Bible says we must love God with all our heart. So whatever we are doing, God is looking at the heart. When David was anointed, and Samuel had looked at Eliab and said, this is the Lord anointed, God corrects him and says, you look on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. So whatever you are doing in the house of God, wherever you are leading and serving, whether it's music, whether it's ushering, whether it's a pastor, whether it's as an evangelist, whatever place you are serving in, let it be a matter of the heart, because God considers the heart. When God looked at the heart of David, he was pleased with his heart. May we have such a heart, the heart of David. Oh, I pray that God grant me the heart of David, a sincere heart in serving God faithfully. Oh, hallelujah. Lesson number three, God honors the desires of our hearts. God honors. So even though God said to David, you are not the one to build, but God honored his desires and says, your son after you shall build me a house. That is God, a legacy. He says, it shall not only end with you, but your son also, I shall do him well, I shall bless him. There is nothing like seeing God bless your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. And this is usually the desires that are in our hearts, and God honors them. When we walk with God and we seek his kingdom, God honors the desires of our hearts and he causes them to be fulfilled. May God fulfill the godly desires that are in your heart. May God honor your godly desires, and may those godly desires be established of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Lesson number four, always remember where God took you from. David never forgot. That is why he was always full of gratitude. He says, look, God, who am I? Who is my family? He was a shepherd boy. There were nobodies. But God picked him and set him apart and set him on the throne. And his life was transformed forever. And he was forever grateful. May you never forget where God picked you from. That you are now a child of God. That you are now a pastor. That you are now a man of God, a servant of God. Where you have honor and dignity, it is the grace of God. It is the mercy of God that has brought you this far. Be grateful, be thankful. Never forget what God has done for you. The mercy that he has shown you, David never forgot. That kept him humble, that kept him grounded. He never became big-minded and proud, but till the end of his life, he was very humble. Why? He always remembered where God took him from. Lastly, have a heart that is full of gratitude towards God. David had a heart that is full of gratitude. And from that heart of gratitude, he would worship God. He would thank God. Last week, we're looking at how he was dancing when the ark of God was coming into the city of David, into Jerusalem. And Michal despised him, but he said, I will continue to do it because it is this God who brought me to this place. So I will even become more crazy to praise him and to worship him. Why? He was full of gratitude. He was full of thanksgiving. May we not be people who are full of complaining, murmuring, like the children of Israel in the desert, always complaining, murmuring. No. Let us be people that are full of gratitude. Be a believer that is full of gratitude. Be a pastor that is full of gratitude. Be a leader that is full of gratitude in the name of Jesus. Oh, let us just thank God today as we end this lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. That God, it is by your mercy that we are children of God today, that we are born again, that we know you, that we love you, that we serve you, God. What a privilege, what an honor when we see where you have taken us from, oh God. Oh, some of those that we grew up with are dead. Some of our colleagues are no more. But Father, we have found favor and mercy, and we are grateful for your mercy. Now, God, the words that you have spoken to us prophetically concerning our destiny, may they be established. May you establish the destiny of everyone that is listening to this lesson and has been following this study of David. As you establish the destiny of David, may you establish their destiny also. In the mighty name of Jesus, may their children be blessed. May their children's children be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. We thank God. We end here today, and we are continuing again next week as we are now moving on to chapter 7. And we are going to look at some of the challenges that David faces in his reign. So even though he had some times of peace, there are challenges that are going to arise even in his own household. But we want to see how he was able to still go through challenging times, but also come out in the end with a testimony of God's favor and God's goodness. So God bless you and God keep you. Let's connect again next week. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.